Hallo und herzlich willkommen. Ich bin's mal wieder, euer Lieblings-Josef. Und für die heutige Episode muss ich mal einen ganz kurzen Switch in eine andere Sprache machen. Und zwar auf Englisch. Because the artist we have on our show today is bringing Zesty back.
It's being a nerd of many colors and is someone that I'm really excited to talk to since we have common interests. So the only thing I can say right now is hello, Lee, from the funeral portrait. Hey, what's going on?
Hey, how are you? Yeah, I mean, for those that don't know, as soon as we started this little meeting, I have on my Yu-Gi-Oh! Dark Magician Girl shirt, and he goes, oh my God, like, freaks out, which is great. Good to know, fellow nerds here.
Yes, fellow nerds, indeed. But to be honest, Yu-Gi-Oh! Isn't one of the topics that I'm very fluent in. I only remember Dark Magician Girl because of the anime that I watched about 20 years ago, since I'm really old.
No, me too, though. Don't worry. Like, I'm an OG Yu-Gi-Oh! Fan, you know, like I went straight from Pokemon to Yu-Gi-Oh!, you know, and a little bit of Digimon back then too. I don't know if you were ever into Digimon, but like...
Oh, dude. Don't get me started on Digimon.
That movie, the OG movie is insane, dude.
The OG movie... is a cineastic masterpiece. It's a masterpiece.
I know exactly what you're saying, and I completely agree. So,
the most well-written anime movie, except for the Cowboy Bebop movie,
and Akira.
And I think Akira's below the Digimon movie. And you guys,
kind of agree with you there. I kind of agree with you there. So.
I really love that one. It gives me the warm fuzzies. But back to Yu-Gi-Oh.
I understand. It wasn't really your thing. It's so funny because, like, for me, you know, I kind of was like, I was really good at playing the card game, right? And I was way better at Yu-Gi-Oh than I was Pokemon. And it was one of those things that, you know, for me, I grew up a nerd, you know. I grew up loving video games. I grew up loving, you know, all of that until music came about for me, you know, like, and then I completely switched. I like lost every interest I ever had. I was like music, you know, punk rock, you know, the whole like Warped Tour culture, all of that like started to be like my whole life, you know. I stopped doing musical theater. Like, I mean, I was literally like, I was so this way. And then all of a sudden I see my life completely change, you know, once I was like in, I think a freshman in high school, you know, and it just like completely changed.
Since you're, oh God, the next question that I am now formulating in my head, because of course I could not predict something like this happening today. Since you're a musical theater kid and also totally into nerd culture and had a transition into rock and roll, into punk rock, of course we know your band as a very the word used mostly is zesty, even by you and by me at the beginning of this interview. Those two things were having like a lot of connection for me as a European listener of American punk rock, especially during the emo scene hype that was like also 20 years ago, due to My Chemical Romance. How did those changes within the perception of those nerd things change over time, and how did that all fuse back into your life at the later stages of your life? How did that happen?
Yeah, you know, it's so funny because, you know, like I said, growing up being a nerd, I think bands like My Chemical Romance and The Used and all of that kind of felt, and Panic at the Disco, Fall Out Boy, those guys were nerds. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like they weren't the cool kids in school, you know. They were all like into all nerd culture, you know. And so like it's one of those things that it's like, I don't know, I finally felt like I belonged somewhere, right? Like growing up, I finally felt like I belong here, you know. And for me, you know, when I'm like super theatrical and like on stage, I'm very like over the top, and like that's kind of our band. We just like to have fun, and like but the lyrics are super dark and emotional, and in real life you can really relate to what we're singing because it's truth, you know. I sing my truth, you know, and that's a big part of who we are. But it also helps people relate a little bit more to what we're doing, as they can feel comfort, they can find comfort in what our music is and what we stand for. And, you know, I think it's just, for me, it just took a long time to get here. You know, we started the band in 2014, and, you know, things just changed rapidly within the last 2 years, you know. And we did our first European tour last year, you know, like it was November, December of last year, you know. And it's like, now we're coming back in June, you know. And it's like this whole, there's so much going on that it's like, it's incredible to feel, and it's incredible to be around. And, you know, I'm very happy. I'm very happy that, you know, I was able to intertwine my love for being weird and different into my, I guess, work life. and now it's together.
What's your favorite commander, or the commander you're running right now in EDM?
Oh my God. It's, God, what is his name? Oh my God. Pain. Lord of Pain.
Lord of Pain.
Okay, Lord of Pain.
Lord of Pain.
Yes, look him up real fast.
MTG Lord of Pain.
I just switched.
That's the Lord. It's just the Lord of Pain.
Is that his name? Is that what it is?
The guy that's comprised of multiple televisions or images, right? Human Assassin, Menace.
One second. Let me make sure. Give me 2 seconds. Let me go find
yes.
him. I got my.
Yes, of course.
I just switched. Yeah, the Lord of Pain. Yeah.
The Lord of Pain.
Yeah, this guy. Look at him. This guy. All right. So the reason why. This guy. So he's got Menace. Your opponents can't gain life, which is huge. Whenever a player casts their first spell each turn, choose another target player. The Lord of Pain deals damage equal to that spell's mana value to that chosen player. You know, and he's 5/5, which is pretty sick. Okay. And the reason why is because my whole deck is built off of just doing damage to people, but not by attacking. And it's like, you know, it just goes, you know, it just was like all about, you know, just, you know, doing things that would just piss people off, you know? So the best part about Lord of Pain is that you can't gain life, which is sick. You know what I mean? And I have cards in here that do things like if the target player was dealt damage this turn, they can never gain life again. Like, you know what I mean? Like stuff like that. Weird. So like, it's all about like just ruining their life, you know, literally. So, but he's great. He's really sick. I've really, really enjoyed moving my commander around from what it was. So what about you? What is your like?
I dropped out of Magic the Gathering after the Lord of the Rings set. So the last commander I really put time and effort in was Marwen the Nurturer, like the green elf lady that's the midwife of Llanowar. And I really loved her. Not just for her effect in the game, but because she's like a diplomat, and also brings the elven kind to life, which is supposedly much more complicated than with humans for some old school Magic the Gathering reasons. And gameplay wise, she's just like, put elves on the battlefield and then put big thing on the battlefield and slap your opponent in the, it's very, very direct and brute forcing your way into the suffering of your opponents. It's
I love that. Yeah, because that's I understand. So like I have, you know, some of my guys, like one of my guys plays I don't know, do you know Light Pause? It's like the they go all in. They spend their good cash on it. But for me, I literally got, how I got into it was with this, the God, it was this one, the Volgaroth or whatever.
That's the one I found on the internet researching you, by the way.
So I was using Volgaroth, but to be real, I just like, the issue that I keep having with him is whenever an opponent loses life for the first time during each of their turn, put a 1-1 counter on Volgaroth. I don't like to attack. I don't need to attack. This became mainly like a defender. You know what I mean? Like to make people not attack me. And it does have flying, which is kind of cool. But like for me, this does way more what I need to do in the game, which is making sure the opponent can't gain life. And also dealing damage without attacking, which are the two big things of this deck. So why not push it? So, but I love that. I love, you know, it's so funny because there's a massive resurgence in Magic, right? And growing up, like I said, I was really into Pokemon. I still am into the Pokemon, really into Yu-Gi-Oh! And then I was into Magic for a little bit. I have a lot of older cards, nothing super expensive, but I have some older stuff. And then when we were on tour about 2 years ago, some of my guys went into a store and they saw like one of those like where you got like two decks together, you know, it's kind of like a trainer, like, you know, training kind of situation, and they got it and they started playing. And then all of my other guys were like, wait a second, this seems fun. And then they got decks and then I got a deck, you know, and then they really dove in. You know, my guys are like super, super. And the issue that I have is, I just like my deck, and I've been like really working through it and like changing a lot of stuff here and there and just evolving it. They all have like seven different ones and they're like, okay, well you're playing that one, so I'm going to play this one. I'm like, all right, I'm still going to like win if I use just my one, you know? And I've put like $100 in, you know what I mean? Well, they've spent like a lot more. So I'm happy. I'm like happy that I have it. So
yep, I'm one of the guys in the pod who spent way too much on their deck, still loses all the time because his strategy is so predictable. Who's your biggest rival on the tour bus?
Oh my God. Oh wow. So it's so funny because it changes. It really changes. So for a while there, it was Homer, who's our drummer, because he had his Captain America deck was kind of a little, you know, come on, man, you know, and he had a few other decks that he just like dove in super hard. Right. And then Rob, my bassist, he started doing like, I can't remember what deck he did, but he spent a good bit of money on a whole deck. And the issue was like at the first, he didn't know how to play it. So it was just like, whatever. But then he started getting really, really good. And then it's so funny because it changes. It changes who is like the guy right now, you know, and like Cody, my guitarist, and then Gareth, my guitarist. And then we have our content creator, Angelo, and he's great as well. And it's like, it's just so funny because we all play and we all keep score. So there's like there's on the bus, we'll have like a whiteboard and we'll have like a leaderboard, awesome. You know? And then we also do stuff where like a lot of fans bring us like packs and stuff and we'll have to play to get them. So like, you know, maybe they brought us 10 packs or something, but there's like a few, you know, there's a few left over. If we each got one, then there's a few left over. So you put them in the middle and you just, okay, who's gonna, this is for all the extra packs, you know, and stuff. So
that's awesome. like a tour bus internal Magic the Gathering league.
Yes. Well, and then we toured with that band, I Prevail, right? And, you know, Eric, the singer, has his own card shop in Detroit and Michigan. Awesome. Oh, yes. And so he, you want to talk about some crazy, crazy magic decks. The I Prevail guys have some cool, you know, where it's just like you get like a combo and you're just like, all right, well, I can't, you know, you get like four different cards down. You're like, okay, this does this, and this does this, and this does this. And you're like, all right, it's an infinite combo. You're going to just gain 10,000 life, you know, or something like that, you know? And it's just like, you know, you just can't with some of those decks, you know? And it's fun though. I thoroughly enjoy playing, even like super hard, you know, like people that like have decks that, you know, that are just like, wow, I didn't even know those cards could do something like that, you know? And I just don't, I still have a good time. It doesn't bother me, you know? I'm just here to have a good time. And I think something that we all talk about, you know, if anybody ever gets upset, it's just cardboard, you know? It's just cardboard and it's just for fun. We're having a good time.
The we're having a good time, it's just cardboard bit just derailed a question that I wanted to ask, because I'm very passionate about paper and cardboard for some inexplicable reason, and also little cartridges also do things for my soul. Since we're already on the topic, and something inside of me refuses to move away from the Magic the Gathering topic, I'm so sorry.
You're fine.
Since Magic the Gathering has turned into a very particular direction, constructing the sets that are coming out and the themes of those sets, like you just said, Captain America, Spider-Man was something, Avatar The Last Airbender. Is that something that you can appreciate, or do you prefer the older, more self-contained Magic storyline thing?
Because, like, I love, the set that we all got really into, which I think a lot of people, was Duskmourne, you know? Duskmourne was, like, and that's where my deck originated, and I've changed it so much since then, you know? I mean, there's a good bit of cards that I kept the same, but over time, you know, I went back to older sets and stuff, or when new stuff comes out, I was like, okay, well, this will fit better than this, so, you know? But I think I loved Duskmourne, and I thought it was such a cool idea, you know, and I think I've heard rumblings of Star Wars coming out, you know, there's like Star Wars set coming and stuff. And like, you know, my guys, they spent like a lot of money on like the Ninja Turtles set, and it just like everything they kept getting, they're like, oh, you know what I mean? Like, I don't know. And I love that it's so cool that you can like, it's eventually going to be Darth Vader versus, you know, any of the Avatar characters, you know what I mean? Or Lord, you know, you got Bilbo Baggins versus, you know, Darth Vader. And it's like, what the, and then Captain America. And then you have my Lord of Pain, you know what I mean? And it's like, what? It's insanity, but I do like it. I think it's fun. You know, again, I think those sets are fun. It was like the SpongeBob Secret Lair. You know what I mean? Yes. Like, how cool is that? That's so cool. You know what I mean? Like, Pokemon would never do that. Yu-Gi-Oh would never do that. I think Magic, it's cool, you know? I think the people that are the most upset about it are like the super nerds. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. I think it's fun. You know, I think it's cool. You know, like, you know, I've seen decks, you know, I think the guys from I Prevail, like Eric, he's got a whole deck full of like the, the lands from SpongeBob, you know, like his whole, all of his lands in his deck are all the SpongeBob lands, you know? And I'm like, it's cute. It's fun. You know what I mean? Like, it makes the game fun. I don't care.
Let's talk about rock and roll. We got the nerd bit, and now we're swapping over to the other part
of
what you do. You will be back in Europe starting in June, and you will also be at Rock im Park and Rock am Ring.
Yes.
Is that your first festival venue in Europe?
So we did, yeah, I guess in Europe, we did, because we did Download last year in the UK, but, you know, it was, we literally flew into Download the day before, and then played Download, and then flew out the next day back to the States, because we were on tour right up to Download Festival, and we literally went from the last day of tour to the airport, to the UK, left the UK, back to the States. And then we had about like 3 weeks off. And then we started a whole other tour. Not even 3 weeks. It was like 2 weeks off. And that's like a huge thing for us in general. Like we're starting our tour in Europe all of June and a little bit of July. And then we're going to be off for like 2 weeks. And then we have some more fly dates here in the States. And then I have to come back to, because I live in on the East Coast, and I'm coming back to the West Coast to finish up our record, because we have a brand new record that we are writing and recording. So
how does one survive this? What's your survival tip for touring like three tours at once, also writing an album and being at three places at the same time?
You know, I've begged for this life. You know, my whole life, I started working in music when I was 14 years old, you know, and I had zero success for so long, right? Like, I think the idea that I finally am making money doing this, not a lot, but paying my bills and living a fun life, like getting to experience the world. The idea of going on tour in Europe, I'm getting paid to go see the world, like, and I take full advantage of it, you know. Is when our first Europe tour last year, we toured with the Rasmus in November, December of last year, and you know, I was out wandering the streets all day, you know what I mean, like, and especially on off days, oh my god, that was the best days, you know. And we were there during like the Christmas markets and stuff. Ooh. And that was like really cool. So my family was stationed in Frankfurt, you know, in the late 70s, I guess it was. And it was really cool, 'cause I got to go to the Christmas market that was there, and I sent them photos, and they sent me photos of when they were there, at that same Christmas market. And I was like, that's so cool. You know, it was like such a cool moment to get to do things like that. And, you know, I think our band never thought that we would be on tour in Europe, or let alone these big tours in the States, you know. And we already have stuff planned for next year for Europe. You know what I mean? like things for us are going extremely well. So it's been a blessing, to be real. I'm just so excited to be here. So it helps it to answer your question. Being excited and being thankful is the only thing I can be, because I never thought in a million years I would be there. So the more things I have going on, that just means I have a cooler life.
Sounds like the complete package. In another interview, I think with Loudwire, you said you have kind of a hard time cooling down after the show and want to immediately jump to the merchandise booth and talk with the fans and interact with those people. What is the most intense, positively intense moment that you had at the merchandise booth with a fan?
You know, I've had a lot, to be real. I've had a lot of really cool moments. I think something for me, you know, that was really big moment was we were in this really small town in like middle America, right? And I mean, it's called Casper, Wyoming, okay? And Wyoming is a big farm. It's just a lot of farms, right? And it's middle of nowhere, And we were on tour with this band called In This Moment. And there was this younger guy that came up, and he was dressed up like a cowboy. He had like a cowboy hat on. He had his boots and everything. And it was one of these moments of, he came up and he was like, hey, like, he was probably like 18, right? 17 or 18. And he was just like, hey, like, your music just means so much to me. Like, I get made fun of for liking music like this here, like stuff, you know, all these things. He was like, you know, you have no idea what this means to me, because bands like you guys don't come here often. And it's one of those things that it's like, for him, I think a lot of us do, that we get to experience live music and bands that are special to us all the time. Right. When you live in a major city, like Atlanta, or I'm out here in LA right now, you know, it's like you take for granted that there's a show every single night here. But in Casper, Wyoming, there's a rock show like three times a year. You know what I mean? And so it's like, you know, what that means, what live music can do to someone, and what it can do is, you know, it saves lives. Live music especially saves lives, right? Because it gives you something to look forward to. So like, at least for me, it was, right? So for me, that's why I love to tour, is because I know that how important these shows are to my fans and to rock fans in general, is they look forward to their next show. They look forward to their next show, right? So it's like, it gives them a life worth living when some other stuff in their life maybe isn't the best.
Dude, I've been through all of this myself. So rock and roll saved my life as well, and the lives of many people that I dearly appreciate. So it's trying to keep shit together right now. Okay, a more fun question. Not an emotionally wrecking one for in between. Since you have a musical theater background, are there any dance moves or any special movements or interpretations of body language that you took from your past in musical theater?
You know, I think that the best thing that I took from there is that if you're on stage, you have to be on, right? Like even if you're a background dancer, right, in a musical of 100 people on stage, you still have to give it your all, because everybody's still going to look at you. Like, everybody's looking at you. They're looking at the big picture, right? So when we're on stage, you have to act like you're on stage, right? So for me, I do like these high kicks. I shake my butt and I do all these, like, you know, all these movements, right? Which are cool. But it's really about knowing, as soon as you walk up on that stage, all eyes are on you. Even if you're the drummer, even if you're the background singer or the this or whatever it is, like, all eyes are on you still, because you're the big picture. You got to think of the stage as the big picture. So in an arena full of 20,000 people, right, there's going to be at least 10% of them looking at the one random guitar player up on the stage, you know what I mean? Like, or the background singer or something. There's at all times, right? So even if you think that the whole crowd is just focused on the singer, it's not. It's all about the big picture. And you have to create a big picture to be a big picture.
Another profound boomerang that slapped right into my face. What's the future holding up for the fans of Funeral Portrait?
You know, like you said, we're going to go do Europe in June. A lot of the festivals, you know, it's going to be crazy. we have shows with Black Veil Bride, Set It Off, Papa Roach, and then our first ever headlining shows that are all about to sell out, which is kind of crazy to ever think of. Like when they like first brought us these like headlining shows in the UK and then there's one in Europe. I can't remember, the Netherlands, I think it is. I don't know. I'm very bad at this. I definitely cannot say the city because I had Google Translate tell me the city multiple times, and I just finally just like had to have Google Translate say it over the video announcement. I literally had it on my, I had it on like my friend's phone ready to go, and I said, "We're playing in," and I like had it play, and I was like, "Cause there's no way I'm gonna say it." But yeah, so we have these three headlining shows, and you know, when they first brought us the shows and they were in like the 400 cap venues, you know, like that size, the like medium, you know, almost bigger. And I'm like, oh man, those are going to be, you know, it's going to be awkward when there's 100 people at these places. And now they're like almost sold out. And I'm like, oh, okay. Like, this is like a thing. Like people like our band, you know? And so it's kind of cool. It's kind of cool to see, but we're doing that. And then we're going to have a new record. The biggest thing is we're going to have a new record. I don't know when it's coming out, but it's been a long time coming because, you know, the way that bands release music now is it feels like they have a new record every year. And that's not us. That's not our band. We like to take our time. I build a story around it. We're very theatrical. Like you said, I have a graphic novel that goes with the first record. I'm going to have a, yep. Oh yeah. I have a, yes. And then I've got another graphic novel I'm working for this second record that's going to go with it. And, you know, I think for me, there's a whole life and story around everything that we do. And so if I rushed something out, it probably won't mean the same, you know? And every time that we have rushed something out, I've been just disappointed. So like being out here in LA, writing every single day for the past month and a half, I've created these stories that I'm like, I love this, you know? And so it's time. It's like time to give them the second record, you know? But this is, I don't want to say this is the record, but this is going to be the record. And I fully believe it will, because I know that it is time for us to do this. So I'm very excited. So that's the biggest thing. Biggest thing is there's going to be new music very soon.
Lee, this has been everything I wanted to ask you. I got my little nerd tangent at the beginning. I got all the pressing questions of the public within the rest of the interview. It's been very beautiful to have you on the show.
Thank you.
You guys out there, take care of each other. Take care of yourselves. Take care of Lee from the Funeral Portrait. And most importantly, rock and roll. And we're done.
I love that. That was great.
And...